Tonight is Monday, August 8th, and for tonight's devotional, I wanted to bring a message of hope in things to come. Now, when I sit down to write a devotional, I'm painfully aware that many of my messages come off as, well, let's say, gloomy. I often focus on things that I personally struggle with in life, hopelessness, failures, and darkness in the world around us. My goal is always to challenge myself and, you know, others through my message and hopefully provide information to strengthen and encourage. And while I do think that meeting life struggles head on is important, I'm realizing that only focusing on humanity's problems might cause someone to miss out on the joy and anticipation that were promised in the Bible. As in all things, we need balance in our lives. So for tonight, I wanted to remind us of the ultimate goal of our faith. That is spending eternity with God in heaven. Now, to quote the Reverend Billy Graham on the subject, he said, "Heaven is a place in which inhabitants will be free from the fears and insecurities that plague and haunt us in present life. No energy crisis there. Free from the economic and financial pressures that burden us down here. Free from the personal and physical harm. No fear of personal failure. Our relationship with Him will be intimate and direct. I'm looking forward to that glorious day of going to heaven," he says. "Heaven will be what we have always longed for. It will be a new social order in which men dream of. All the things that have made earth unlovely and tragic will be absent in heaven. There will be no night, no death, no disease, no sorrow, no tears, no ignorance, no disappointment, and no war. It will be filled with happiness, worship, love, and perfection." Now, Graham's description here is, it's almost poetic, honestly. What he's describing is a paradise, and it conjures up many wonderful things in my mind. But before we go too deep into one man's idea of heaven, let's acknowledge that there has been a lot written about our final destination over the years. But also, there's still a lot we aren't really sure about. I've heard plenty of speculation from various sources, but without confirmation, it's just that, speculation. Tonight, I want to stick with what we do know, and so we'll be leaning pretty hard on just straight scripture tonight for our source of truth. So what does the Bible say about heaven? Well, actually, it says a lot of things. I couldn't possibly fit every quote in here, but I did want to touch on a few themes that give us a glimpse of what's to come. So what is heaven like? The Bible tells us it's a place of beauty. So in Revelations 21:15 through 27, it reads, "He who talked with me had a golden rod to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies as a square, its length as long as its width. He measured the city with a rod, 1,400 miles, its length and breadth and height are equal. And then he measured its wall, 250 feet by the measurement of a man, that is, of an angel. The wall was built of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all kinds of precious jewels. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each gate was made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city has no need of sun or moon to shine it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations of all those who are saved, shall walk in its light, and the kings of earth shall bring their glory and honor to it. Its gates shall never be shut by day, for there shall be no night there. They shall bring unto the glory and the honor of nations. No unclean thing shall ever enter it, nor shall anyone who commits an abomination or falsehood, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Now, that sounds pretty amazing to me. But we also read Jesus's words speaking about the accommodations that we'll find when he arrives. And that's found in John 14:1-4, and it reads, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you myself, that where I am, you may be also. You know where I'm going, and you know the way. So Jesus, he's prepared a place for us, and we'll be welcome there. And personally, I can't wait to see that. It sounds amazing. Now, the Bible also tells us that heaven will be a place of great joy and comfort. Again, Revelation 21:4, God shall wipe away all the tears from our eyes. There shall be no more death, neither shall there be any more sorrow, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away. Isaiah 65:17-25 reads, "For I create new heavens and new earth. The former things shall not be remembered, nor even come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For I create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. And the voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no longer an infant who lives only a few days, or an old man who has not filled out his days. For the child shall die at 100 years, but the sinner shall be 100 years old and shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat from them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people, and my chosen ones shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. For they are the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the bull, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord." And what Isaiah is describing here is it's just the perfection of existence. Full and satisfying, the very definition of contentment. So lastly, the Bible tells us that we will be in the very presence of God Almighty in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, "But I would not have you ignorant, brothers, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others have who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so that God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For we say to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall be forever with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." And Revelation 22:3-4, "The angels showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God of the Lamb, through the middle of the streets of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 fruits, yielding each fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree for healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more, and they will need no lamp, no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." Now, I'd like to go back just once more to Billy Graham's take on heaven to finish things up for tonight. So he writes, "The Bible indicates that heaven will be a place of great understanding and knowledge of things that we never learn down here. Sir Isaac Newton, when an old man, once said to one who praised his wisdom, 'I am as a child on the seashore, picking up a pebble here and a shell there, but the great ocean of truth still lies before me.' And Thomas Edison once wrote, 'I do not know 1/1,000,000th part of 1% about anything. Many of the mysteries of God, the heartaches, trials, disappointments, tragedies, and the silence of God in the midst of suffering will be revealed in heaven.' However, the Bible makes clear that there is only one way to heaven, and that's through the repentance and sin and faith in Jesus Christ, who said, 'I am the way.' Jesus paid for our sins through his death on the cross, and God offers us the free gift of friendship with him in this life and eternal life in heaven when we die, if we will but turn from our sins and trust in Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Acts 16:30 reads, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." Heaven is our glorious reward, and it's a perfect existence in the presence of God. It's a beautiful eternity that awaits us, and I personally look forward to spending that perfect time together with God and also with you, my friends. And this will end tonight's devotional.